Our scripture reading this morning is found in Paul's letter to the Romans, and the 12th chapter, and let's read from verse 1 through to verse 9. Romans chapter 12, and verses 1 down to verse 9. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Amen. We know God will bless His word to all of our hearts this morning. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we count it a great privilege this morning to gather together in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you, God speaks to us today through His Word. And Father, as we turn to the Scriptures just now, we pray for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Pray God, by His gracious Spirit, might touch all of our hearts. Come to us, we pray. And as the loaves were multiplied when the Lord Jesus fed the thousands, we pray that God might come to us today and make the message effective, applicable to every one of our hearts and lives. Grant us your grace. We pray that the Lord Jesus might be magnified in the Word and in our response to the Word of God to our hearts today. We pray and worship in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things that are necessary if any one of us is going to win, whether it's in business or in a career or even in a sport. These three words are commitment and dedication and sacrifice. When you come to Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, we could well entitle it Christian commitment, Christian dedication, and Christian sacrifice. They are the vital and essential elements of the Christian life. If any one of us is to win the Christian race, the verse divides itself into seven segments. We could actually call them seven aspects of missionary service. Number one, there's a call. We can call it a sacred call. I beseech you. It's a call from God. Number two, there's a fraternal. Set free, a saved fraternal, out of which missionaries are called. Brethren. Number three, there's a superb motivation to serve Christ. Why does anyone serve Christ? It's because of the mercies of God. God has been merciful and compassionate to every single one of us. Number four is a challenge. It's a stupendous challenge. The greatest challenge of the Christian experience. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Number five, the sanctifying grace of surrender to Christ. That sacrifice becomes holy. Number six, satisfactory acceptance. When the sacrifice is presented, the Word of God tells us that it's acceptable to God, it pleases God, and God accepts the sacrifice. The verse ends with what we would call a smart calculation of the logical outcome of our ready response to the call to missionary involvement. Number one, then, the call. I beseech you. It's a strong word, but it comes from a Greek word that literally means I call you to come alongside me. Of course, the call comes from the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus, formerly he was persecutor of Christians. He is now the sacrificial, dedicated, committed follower and servant of Jesus Christ. He will cross boundaries. He will climb barriers to preach the gospel of Christ. There's a fire in the spirit of the Apostle Paul that drives him to serve the Lord Jesus. The gospel of the resurrected Christ must be heard by both Jews and Gentiles, no matter what the difficulties may be. In the process, he gets shipwrecked. He's beaten. He's falsely accused. And on occasion is left for dead. But he sees God at work. Miracles take place, and perhaps the greatest miracles are found in the conversion of individuals. The jailer at Philippi, what must I do to be saved? The conversion of Lydia as God by His Spirit opens her heart to gospel truth. Apollos transformed from a mere student of the Scriptures to one who now knows Christ. These individual conversions lay the foundations of little local fellowships, local assemblies, local churches that then evangelize the known world. Paul now says to all of us who read Romans 12, I call you, come alongside me. Join me in this apostolic ministry and Christian ministry and service. So who's called? Well, everyone is called through the gospel to come and trust Jesus as Savior. Someone may be here this morning who's not yet a Christian. The gospel call still goes out. This day is possible to become a Christian. God by His Spirit may be touching your heart and calling you. Come today. But every Christian then is now called to work alongside the apostle. Not just some, every Christian. Our responsibility is to win the lost for Jesus Christ. It's a high calling. It's a wonderful calling. But you know, these words are found here in God's Word, the inspired Word of God. And even take on a higher, deeper significance than an apostolic call. It's God who's calling. And perhaps this morning and over this missionary weekend, there are among us a number of people who are hearing God's call to missionary service. Maybe you've never been involved in the support of the great missionary endeavor, the greatest task in the world today. God is calling you. Maybe like me, I grew up just desperately hoping that God would not call me to be a missionary. I wanted to be a millionaire. That was a waste of a life to become a missionary. You could waste your life doing other things, but not being a missionary for Jesus Christ. God is calling. That's why the call is sacred. God, by His Spirit, calls. It's a sacred call. Who does the call come to? It comes to the brethren. Those men and women who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who have been set free from the condemnation of the law. Paul prayed for Israel that they might be saved. They had a knowledge, a certain zeal for God, but didn't know God personally through Jesus Christ. And this is the fraternal. This is the fellowship out of which God calls missionaries. Of course, to get into that fraternal, you need to trust in Jesus as Savior. You need to know Jesus, walk with Jesus, hear God's Word on a daily basis. It's a sacred call. Comes to the saved fraternal, the set free fraternal, brethren. Thirdly, the motivation to Christian service, Christian dedication, commitment. Athletes, sports persons, people are motivated by medals, perhaps. They go for the rewards, gold if possible. No medals are given out for Christian service. So what's the motivation? The motivation is the mercies of God. God's compassion. God's kindness. And God's great compassion and kindness in the sending of His only Son, the Lord Jesus, as He stepped out from eternity and stepped out from glory, dressed Himself in our humanity, to take upon Himself our sins when He would die on the cross at Calvary. God could have wiped this out in judgment, but He had mercy and compassion. And Paul at the beginning of the book of Romans has very strong words to say about us as sinners. God is angry against sin. There's no excuse acceptable to God for us continuing to live in sin. Rebel against God. Tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the glory that we had when God first created us. And God forgives those who repent and trust the gospel, the mercies of God. For those of us who now experience this, no condemnation in Christ. To whom God has come by His Spirit and given that assurance of eternal salvation. The mercies of God. It was precisely because there's a huge debt that we owe to God for His mercies. Any Christian, any real Christian, would be an ungrateful wretch that didn't feel some compassion. Not compassion, compulsion. To reciprocate with service and worship to God, to Christ. So as a motivation for missionary service, for Christian service, it's the cross of Christ. The crucifixion is at the very center, the heart of all Christian ministry. God's compassion in sending His Son and the Son's willingness to say, "Here am I, send me." Not medals that motivate us, rather the mercies of God. In the very heart of the text, the challenge. And somehow we need to step back and take it slowly. Think about it deeply. Almost a deep breath before we come to segment 4. Because God is calling us, and it's God who's calling. It's not a church, it's not a mission organization, it's God who's calling. And it's the greatest challenge of the Christian experience. You and I up for a challenge this morning, this is it. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. The first readers of Paul's letter to the Roman church would have perhaps understood this easier than we do, because the sacrificial system was probably still taking place. Anyway, there were people there who remembered the sacrifices, who witnessed them, who saw them. The sacrifices have been an integral part of the Jews' worship of God for thousands of years. The sacrificial animals, very often lambs, were offered or presented on altars. What had to happen, first of all, of course, was that the lambs were slain. The blood was poured out. The lambs were dead. Every one of them. They were laid on the altar. Then the fire was put under the altar, and the fire was lit, and the sacrifice was consumed. It was the only way of access to God in Old Testament times. Sacrifice. But here God calls us to a living sacrifice. And it is an apparent paradox. How can a sacrifice be alive? All sacrifices were dead. God is speaking to us here that we are to be so committed, so given to God, so dedicated, that we are as completely surrendered to God as the lamb was on the altar. It's a conscious decision. It's a response to the challenge from God to give that living sacrifice. The lambs were to die, but we are to live. Everything is alive in the New Testament. We come to a living and a true God. We come to God through the new and the living way. Christ is the living stone, living water. It's the living Word of God. It's alive. The living sacrifice is a new concept for the Christians in Rome. It's one of the most powerful challenges that will ever come to us as the Lord's people. Cuts across our own ambitions. Cuts across our own desires. Our own way of thinking. We believe that the Roman Christians got the message. Do we? You know, God is not really calling us to work for years in a commitment to Him. God is not even calling us for a tithe or an offering or a gift. In a sense He is, but this is a supreme challenge. God wants our heart. God wants our bodies. Why? God graciously requests these bodies of ours so that He may indwell them. He may possess them. He may show to the world His glory in the redeemed bodies of His people. As God, He says, how we use our bodies in this life that God has given to us. God may not be asking us for a huge gift, like a house or a car or something else. He may be. But God comes to each of us. I want your heart and I want your body presented as a living sacrifice. Isn't it full surrender? Isn't it total commitment? Isn't it sacrifice? Every Christian at some point in their life should face the challenge and respond to it. And never take the body from the altar ever again. That's how the Christian, all Christians, not just missionaries, live in the center of the will of God. There will be some death here. Sacrifice lives, but there will be death to sin. There will be death to self, and there will be death to the flesh. Things we need to die to anyway will be alive to God. Sanctifying grace of Christian dedication. The word is in there, holy. Really, all personal godliness and holiness emanates from the altar. You can't really be holy, godly, growing in grace unless we are obedient to God and His Word. Sixthly, the satisfactory acceptance of the sacrifice. The word here is a very strong word. God accepts the sacrifice. How do we know? Millions of people around the world today will leave out bowls of rice, plates of food, bunches of flowers. They'll present them as sacrifices, gifts of money, other things, to the spirits, to please the spirits, to appease the spirits. And one of the tragedies is that they'll never know if they have offered enough or not. They'll never know if they have pleased the spirits or the gods. Because the little offerings will remain the same, go back the next day and they'll still be exactly as they were. A few years ago, my wife and I went out to visit our daughter, who was then working in Lima, Peru, doing student work. In the huge city of Lima, of 11 million people, we went one day to visit a... what is it? A huge structure, a pyramid in Peru. It was being restored, and the guide took us up. Huge, huge structure. And our guide stopped and he said to us, you know, the place where you're standing right now could be the place where human sacrifices were offered in the past. On this huge structure just overlooking the Pacific Ocean, men and women came in spiritual darkness from the mountains of the Andes. And they offered unacceptable sacrifices. And in Paul's words, to unknown gods they didn't know. Demanding spirits, angry gods. God accepts the sacrifice that we offer. How do we know? Because God tells us in His Word how He accepts the sacrifice. King David built an altar, offered sacrifices. And the Lord answered him, sent the fire. Fire fell from heaven. Elijah built the altar, offered the sacrifice. Fire of God fell. God indwells the heart and life that is surrendered, committed to God. God indwells that heart and life by His Holy Spirit. Fire being one of the symbols of God, the Holy Spirit. All for Christians to be fresh and alive and powerful. Prayer meeting this week, a big man was breaking his heart over the sheer lack of power with us today. Lastly, it's your reasonable service, a smart calculation. You might be thinking there this morning, and the casual onlooker would say, what a waste. What extravagance, there's no need for that. But as the apostle winds this verse up, he wants us to get the message, and God wants us to get the message, that presenting your body as a living sacrifice is no waste. In fact, it's the most reasonable. And if we translated the Greek word for reasonable here, we would get our word logical, the most logical, sensible, reasonable thing that any Christian can do. It's your logical service. And those who have done it have consistently been the winners. I've never heard, and I'm sure you've never heard, missionaries after serving God for 30 years, 40, 50, 60 years come back and say, it was a waste. Horace Banner, Kiapo Indians, 50 years, end of his life said, looking back, no regrets. And looking forward, no fears. He'd given his life for service. Many of us will be like that. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Stud said, if Jesus Christ be God, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. The sacrifice. Betty Stamm wrote these words, Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. Give myself, my life, my all, utterly to be thine forever. Fill me and seal me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as thou wilt. Send me where thou wilt. Work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. That's the response to Romans 12 and 1. You and I greatly lack in Christian courage when we don't face the challenge. Feel to give it to our young people today. Challenge comes to us from the first book of Chronicles. Who then is willing to consecrate himself today? Not tomorrow, not when you're nearing retirement and have done what you want to do. It's now. Get alongside the apostle. Suffer for Christ. Serve Christ. Dr. Callie, that we spoke to the children about, is buried in Dean Cemetery in the heart of Scotland's capital city, Edinburgh, where we've lived for the last 30 years. His funeral took place on the 24th of January, 1888. It was conducted by his great friend, Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, now Overseas Missionary Fellowship. Callie didn't live to see it. Saw a good harvest, but didn't live to see the bumper harvest of tens of millions of Portuguese-speaking people this morning in thousands of churches across the world, worshipping and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what it's down to? It's down to Cali. I had some serious thinking to do. As a Christian doctor, how best to serve God and God the Son. The mercies of God, what God has done for me. A ready response from the heart of Robert Cali. They gave him a name in Madeira when persecution broke out. They called him the Wolf from Scotland. His life story is written, and that's the title of the book, The Wolf from Scotland. The title will soon pass, but Robert Cali is not the wolf from Scotland. He's rather the sacrificial lamb. He gave himself to Christ, his all. And the harvest is being produced today that will glorify Christ throughout the countless ages of eternity itself. May God bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's sing together.